If you were here last week and have a good memory, you remember that I preached from this same chapter last week, Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. I appealed to the lost, all those that had a thirst, a longing in their heart and soul for God. They wanted a relationship with Him, to know Him, that they were created by Him, that He has a purpose for them, and He'll take them with Him to live forever when this life is over. And I encourage the lost to do what Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore with joy shall we draw waters out of the wells of salvation." And we talked about Jesus being that well. We went back to John chapter 4 as He met the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well and said, "Whosoever drinketh this water, talking about the well water, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen. Last week I invited the lost to come and get a drink from that well. And then I spoke to Christians from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. "And in that day shall ye praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted." I said there's four things that every Christian should be doing. They should be praising the Lord, they should be praying, they should be proclaiming what God has done for them, and then they should be talking about Jesus, exalting His name. This morning, I want to back up a verse. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, and I want to talk to Christians again. I want to use that verse that says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." And you might look at it this way. Verse 4 that we talked about last week is what we as Christians should be doing on the outside. Verse 2 is what we as Christians should be doing on the inside. Verse 4 is what other people see. Our praise, our prayer, our proclamation, our talking about Jesus. Verse 2, they can't see. But everything that's on the outside, the praise, the prayer, the proclamation, the talking about Jesus, should be founded on and should be based on the things that are on the inside that are mentioned in verse 2. So I want to talk about those four things this morning. But before we start, I want you to notice something about those four things in verse 2. They are sandwiched between salvation. Notice, verse 2 starts, "Behold, God is my salvation." And it ends, "He also is become my salvation." So these four things are like the ham in a ham sandwich. They're like the cream in an Oreo. They are sandwiched between salvation. I want to remind you this morning before I start on my sermon that salvation is all of God, none of man. Salvation is God doing everything for us, and all we have to do is receive it. All we have to do is take it. God gave us the Bible so that we can know that we're sinners and sin has a price. He sent a Savior, His Son Jesus Christ, to be the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, to go to Calvary's cross and die in our place. God deals to every person a measure of faith, the Bible tells us. Enough faith to get saved. Enough faith to believe the Bible that we're sinners. Enough faith to believe the Bible that there's a penalty for sin. Enough faith to believe that Jesus did die for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. God sends the Holy Spirit to woo us, to draw Him to Jesus, to convince us that we're a sinner. And He gives us people in our life, Sunday school teachers and parents and grandparents, pastors and friends, to share the gospel with us, to share what happened to them when they got saved, to encourage us, to teach us, to cajole us, to pray for us, so that we will come to that point where we're asked the question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have forgiveness of my sins? What must I do to have that relationship with God, the one who made me, and the one who has a purpose for me, and the one who will take me to heaven when I leave this earth? The Philippian jailer asked a question, and Paul and Silas was there, and they answered that question, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I want to tell you, nothing's changed since the moment that Paul answered that question in the Philippian jail. God hasn't changed. I am the Lord. I change not, the Bible says. Man hasn't changed. We're still sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law hasn't changed. The wages of sin is still death. Jesus hasn't changed. Hebrew tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith hasn't changed, for by grace are we saved through faith. And the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. He's still drawing men and women and boys and girls. He's still helping them to understand they're a sinner. They need a Savior. He's still helping them to know that Jesus is the only Savior that works. What must I do to be saved? The same thing that the Philippian jailer needed to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here this morning and you're thirsty, you're looking for that relationship with God, you're looking for the relationship with the one that made you for a purpose, the one that will take you to heaven when you leave this earth, then I invite you this morning to come and take a drink from this well where you will never thirst again. The well of Jesus Christ, the drink that will get you into heaven. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Again, in verse 4, it tells us four things we ought to do on the outside. In verse 2, it gives us four things that we need to do on the inside. Again, sandwiched between salvation, sandwiched between, behold, God is my salvation. The Lord, he also is become my salvation. Here's the four things that are in between that. Number one, I will trust. I will trust. People can see your praise. They can see your prayers when you pray. They can hear your proclamation. They can hear you talking about Jesus, but they can't see your trust. You know, it's a strange thing to me. We trust Jesus to save us, and then so many Christians say, "Thank you, Lord, I'll take it from here. Thank you, Lord. I'll live my life apart from you from here." I thought about this week, Abraham and Sarah. All their life was marked by faith. God told them to move. They moved. God told them they were going to have a baby when they were old. They laughed, but they had that baby. God told them to sacrifice that baby. They were willing to offer that baby as a sacrifice to God. Their life was one step after another of trusting God. One step after another of depending on him. One step after another of believing what he said and just trusting him to lead them in everything that they did. We sing that song, "Trust and Obey," when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Listen, if you're a Christian here this morning, I can't see your trust, but it needs to be on the inside. You need to trust God. You need to know that God will do exactly what he said that he was going to do. You need to know that this book is true. There's not one error. There's not one lie. There's not one misleading statement in this book. We can trust God, and we ought to trust God. How can we praise? How can we pray? How can we proclaim? How can we talk about Jesus if we don't trust God? I will trust him. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Number two, I will trust and not be afraid. You know, we live in a fearful world. This virus that started in China has now affected almost 100,000 people. It's killed almost 3,000 people. I haven't heard the numbers this morning, and so they must be updated. People are afraid.
We saw that in the stock market this week. I mean, people were afraid. It dropped, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 points. I hope this week, if you have an IRA that's invested in stocks, you didn't look at it. Don't look at it. I mean, it'll eventually come back. Don't look at it. You'll be so discouraged. But people are afraid. I mean, we put up restrictions, and so we can't travel. And there's different parts of the world that says, hey, we're going to cancel school for a month. I won't tell you what one of my grandsons said, but anyhow. But they've canceled school, and they've canceled meetings. I mean, the Olympics that are supposed to be in Japan in a couple of months are in jeopardy now because they're trying to contain this thing. And we live in a fearful world. The Christian who has God for their salvation, who trusts Him, can say and feel on the inside, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. And it's not only things that are happening in the world, it's things that are happening in our life. It's the circumstances and the hardships and the tragedies that have come into our life. But we as a Christian who have received Christ as our Savior, who have taken a drink from that well of salvation, who trust Him, can say, I am not afraid. It doesn't matter about what comes. It doesn't matter about what tomorrow brings. Helen pointed out to me a long time ago. She said, Brother Darrell, you know there's over 365 fear nots in the Bible? One for every day. One for every day. And there's more than 365 because this year's the leap year. We need an extra one. And so God put that one in there for us too. There's a fear not for every day of the year. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Number three, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. We talked about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. In Sunday school this morning, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and faint not. You know, I'm finding the older I get, the tireder I get. Somebody asked me early last week, what's your hobbies? I said, my number one hobby is napping. I'll sit down for a minute. The next thing I know, my eyes are shut. Listen. I don't have to operate in my own strength. I've tried that. Remember that verse says, even the youths and the young men shall utterly fall. They'll get tired. When I was younger, I could work a long time, but I got tired. My strength has a limit. But God's strength has no limit. Amen. And those that wait upon Him, and it's interesting, we talked about it in Sunday school, that word wait means intertwined, bound together. And when we bind our life together with Christ, when we get so close to Him that we depend on Him for everything, the Bible says He will renew. And that's an interesting word too, renew our strength. It means I can take off my tiredness and He will give me new vigor. He will give me new strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then the last one in that verse, number four, and my song. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I've had some people tell me, Brother Darrell, that's how you ought to make your melody, in your heart. They said it in a kind way. But I love to sing.
I'll sing in the choir as long as Adam doesn't kick me out. I was late this morning, so I didn't make it up there. But I'm glad that my mom and dad took me to Sunday school when I was a kid so I could learn all the Sunday school courses. I'm glad they took me to church so I could learn the hymns. It doesn't matter what the day brings. The Lord Jehovah is my song. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of my life are. The Lord Jehovah is my song. God is my salvation. I will trust, not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Those are the things I ought to have on the inside. I have that trust. I have that lack of fear. I have his strength. I have his song. It'll allow me to do on the outside what verse 2 tells me, or what verse 3, I'm sorry, what verse 4 tells me to do. I will praise, I will pray, I will proclaim, and I'll talk about Jesus. Now, if you're here, I'm done. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't do any of this stuff until you take care of the main thing. The main thing is to get a drink out of that well, that when you drink it, you'll never thirst again. You need to come to Jesus and you need to trust him as your Savior. Would you do that this morning? Would you? And then the many Christians that are here, let's put this stuff on the inside so that we can do on the outside what God wants us to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. Thank you that he dug that well and has water in it that if we drink, we'll never thirst again. But we'll have a relationship with you, the one that made us, the one that made us for a purpose, the one that has a plan for us when we leave this life. Like Rose, when she left this earth last week, she went immediately to be with you in heaven. She's in heaven this morning. Father, we miss her, but we rejoice in the fact that we know where she is, and she walks the street of heaven this morning. And I pray for those that are here that have a heavy heart this morning, those that are here are they're struggling under a sickness, those that are here that are struggling under some other circumstances, help us to remember, you are our salvation. We can trust in you, not be afraid, because you provide our strength. You put a song in our heart, even when we don't feel like singing. And so, Father, we can praise you. We can pray. We can proclaim. And we can talk about Jesus. Help every Christian here to do that. Father, bless the invitation. Again, I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. Help them to come. Pray for the Christians. Maybe they need to get some things straight this morning. Help them to do that. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.